Hello, and welcome to the Flux Power Holdings Investor Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. The call will be available for replay online at the investor relations section of Flux's website a few hours after its conclusion. Flux's CEO, Ron Dutt, will provide an initial overview on the company, and then we will proceed to a question and answer session. I would like to remind everyone that comments Flux management makes on today's call may include predictions, estimates, expectations, and other forward-looking statements which are based on the company's knowledge as of today. These statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. Flux disclaims any obligation to update such forward-looking statements and encourages investors to refer to Flux Power's recent SEC filings for a detailed review of such risk factors. I would now like to turn the conference over to Flux Power's CEO, Ron Dutt. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Gary. Good morning. Again, I'm Ron Dutt, CEO of Flux Power, and thanks for joining today's investor call. I'm going to discuss some highlights of our press release this morning, including our progress and how we're bringing lithium-ion battery solutions to the material handling industry. First, our Q2 and Q3 results demonstrate lithium adoption has begun in earnest. Our customer and OEM dialogues confirm that large-scale conversion from lead-acid to lithium batteries is inevitable. This means better performance, more energy efficient, lower cost, and makes greater business and environmental sense. The first few major customers are the hardest, but we are already seeing momentum building with others. And we do expect some quarterly variability based on large customer order timing. Flux revenue has been principally from walkie pallet jack battery so far, which is our entry-level product. This category represents an $800 million business opportunity. And more importantly, we are now launching products for Class 1, counterbalance, Class 2 narrow aisle forklifts, and Class 3 in rider forklifts. Each of those markets are multi-billion dollar opportunities. And customers with large fleets want a full product lineup for their sourcing needs. We are continuing to strengthen and expand our relationships with leading manufacturers to further enhance Flux market position and sales position potential. I now want to turn to several frequently asked questions. First, what's our plan to build attractive gross margins? I talk a lot about growing the business at this point, but we also need to grow profitably, and we are working and progressing in our plan for that. To that point, first, production launch and early volumes have been impacted by cost factors from maturing our designs and our assembly lines and from limited purchasing power from our early level volumes. And we have given pricing discounts to initiate adoption with the very large customers. And this has been done in lieu of marketing campaigns. Our margin improvement plan rests on several areas. Number one, significant reduction in cost of buying battery cells from China, exploring new vendors. Next generation BMS, or our battery management system, the brains of our lithium, will come from new, more powerful and lower cost components and design. We're We're looking at reduced costs from higher purchasing volumes of sheet metal and internal components. Our plan targets margins in the high 20s within the next 12 months. Margins in the 30s are my long-term goal, and that will be driven by margins from larger packs and anticipated continued sourcing reductions. A second question that we get asked that I'd like to address is, what's our competitive advantage in this emerging industry? Many investors do not understand what's involved in developing a product in this sector, gaining customer acceptance, and assume someone can just walk in and take over, particularly the large multi-billion dollar lead acid manufacturers. There's a great deal of very specific design, engineering, and technology needed in this lithium space. First, there are over 350 components or parts in just a walkie pack, with more parts in the larger packs that we are introducing. And meeting weight requirements for the packs are extensive, with over 2,400 pounds required in the larger packs. Evaluating and selecting best components is even a longer-term process. Also, other key elements include a battery management system and steady stream of innovations, new features and functionality driven by customer needs that need to be developed when developing lithium solutions in the forklift industry. Customer requirements reflect producing packs to withstand very harsh environments in which forklifts are not exactly treated like your personal automobile or your tools at home. Also, there are technical and OEM approvals that need to be secured, and we have been the leader in that area. And we're having significant progress with large customers, dealer relationships, the manufacturers, OEMs, again, and credibility with those constituents. No one can show up with a lithium battery and start selling it. It's more complicated than that. And like many industries, this is one that has seen many overhyped new products, and trustworthiness produced from experience with customers is what's really highly valued, and it's not easily won. Lithium is fundamentally different and more complex than lead acid, with electronics that enable flexibility and performance at levels unmatched by lead acid. Finally, clearly lead acid providers are currently best positioned with customer and OEM relationships, yet selling lithium will be disruptive to their internal structure. Lithium is an educational sale versus a commodity sale like lead acid, and will likely hurt the operating results of those large manufacturers, principally their margin, because it will take time for them to build integrated production lines. Although several of the large lead acid providers are touting some initial lithium product entrants, we don't expect them to be aggressive on lithium until later in the cycle when the pace of switching to lithium accelerates. And with that overview, I'd now like to hear from our investors. Operator, please open up the line.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question comes from Sameer Joshi with H.C. Wainwright. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Ron. I just have one quick question. You did comment on your competitive position, but how do you see your the landscape turn out over the next 12 to 18 months as it relates to other battery manufacturers and also as it relates to fuel cell manufacturers that are in the same space?
Thanks, Amir. Good question on competition and fuel cells. Let me hit fuel cells just first before the some of the other competition over the next 12 months. I get asked quite a bit about fuel cells because the media has been carrying some articles on Amazon and Walmart adopting fuel cells. Fuel cells is really caters to a very niche market. And it caters to the companies that need to charge batteries in 3 minutes. Well, lead acid has been taking 16 hours to charge and cool down and be ready for use in the market. Compared to that 16 hours, lithium, we can charge in an hour to an hour and a half and be ready to go. There are very few sectors, few companies that really need to charge in 3 minutes and are willing to pay the $500,000 or so in capital equipment to set up to provide generation of hydrogen. So it's been around for a number of years, been looked at for a number of companies. We think it's certainly probably could be very attractive for those companies that need the hyper short or very short charging time. But the cost advantage, even touted by those companies, is about 10% versus lead acid, which is much less cost advantage than we have. So in a very competitive material handling market, we don't bump into them at all. Again, a niche market. In terms of our competition, there are one or two of the large lead acid batteries are touting and want to introduce a product later in the year, and it's really from their European affiliates. Our competition in this country are some emerging companies. We do run into several of those companies. They have built their business as a supplement to their ongoing businesses. We're the only ones that are very focused on lithium adoption and material handling. So we think that gives us an edge because we have been the ones out there developing the forklift manufacturer relationships and relationships with other dealers and distributors. So I feel pretty good about the competitive environment. It's actually good to have some other competitors out there because it gives exposure to the viability of lithium. But we see ourselves having delivered well over 2,000 units in the market, much more than anybody else in the U.S. market. So we're very positive in our position at this point.
Thanks for that. Just one follow-up. Sort of related topic. I understand you are working with the manufacturers of forklifts. Do you have any direct communication with these major customers, and how is your sales strategy going forward? Like, are you going to continue to target manufacturers, or are you going to make overtures to the final customers as well? Thanks for taking my questions.
Yeah. Thanks, Amir. That's a good point. We've kind of evolved our strategy over the past 4 years, and with our experience in the business, and you know, there's a number of constituents. There's the manufacturer OEM OEMs that make the forklifts. They're their dealers. There are battery distributors. Our experience is that we see having relationships with the equipment manufacturers or the OEMs. Some of them actually don't like to be called OEMs. That's why I'm a little hesitant in calling them that. But are really key because they have the business with the large Fortune 500 companies. Their national account salespeople are tied in to the Fortune 50 and Fortune 500 companies. So we have been developing, working hard on our relationships with the top-tier OEMs with regard to that, have been making great progress, hope to be making some announcements in the near future on that. At the same time, we found that working with battery distributors and equipment dealers is also critical because they also provide a sales channel in that middle market and also can also provide service points around the country, which allows us to have very responsive service to end customers in the marketplace. In terms of our strategy going forward, we are continuing to focus on the large OEMs. The large OEMs are the key for us to expanding to Europe. We've already had discussions with that. That's the primary focus of our strategy. Hope that helps, Samir.
No, it does. Thanks for that color.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from Stephen Barnes with Empire Financial. Please go ahead.
Morning, Ron. I got just a couple quick questions. I don't normally recall very often seeing investors paying above market prices for a stock. Can you explain how that came about and why they were willing to pay a 35% premium?
Yeah, Stephen, that's a good question. It is kind of surprising. When I was in Wall Street recently, they kind of looked at me like I was smoking something. in this case, this reflects the much of the fundraising we've been doing in the past, where we've been going because of our current emerging situation. We're not really in the profile of the Wall Street institutions. So we've been going to people we know, people our leading investors know, more of a friends and family, and also investment advisory firms connected with them. Those people have taken the time to meet us, see us, come and see what we're doing. And even though we're small, look at the possibilities. They've been doing, like others, doing the research in the current status of the emerging market, but also connecting that other piece of, well, what are we doing? How are we going to compete in this market? Is it now? What's happening with key customers we have? So I think with that much closer involvement with us, we've been able to get those investors excited about us and realize that our market price is really, and even Wall Street will tell me all the time, it's an illiquid. You have an illiquid stock because you don't have enough float at about 9% of your common stock. You're a 50-cent stock. Most people can't invest in you. So people see that that's not a true indication of the value of Flux. And so that's why we've been able to do it. It's not, as you say, you raise your head, but, you go back and look at the microcap and nanocap market is just not very active. So I think you see that gap. You see that gap, but that's how I see the explanation. I hope that helps, Stephen.
It does. Just one follow-up question. I see that you've got a sizable debt position with a major shareholder. So how can the shareholders get comfortable with that debt as far as having their voice and interest protected?
Yeah, good question, Stephen. Get asked that a lot, particularly when you go out and raise equity. People look at that. And, We have a $10 million credit line with about $8 million outstanding and a bit more under a short-term basis. And, you know, they go, well, if we invest, are you just going to pay that holder back? Well, that's from our largest shareholder who's been supporting this company with capital ever since its beginning over five years ago, has converted all of the debt that he has provided to support operations as we've developed our products. He is very, very bullish on the opportunity of Flux. Believes that we can become that we have a very, very bright future. So in raising money, this is not an example of someone where we got to repay the debt to raise more money.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Showing no further questions, this concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Ron Dutt for any closing remarks.
Thanks, Gary. Glad to be able to provide some insight. Hope you looked at our press release this morning. We'll be filing our 10-Q today. We here at Flux are very excited about what's going on, our progress in the marketplace, and hope to talk to as many of you as possible. I'm glad to answer any questions. Please reach out and contact me. Again, thanks for listening in.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.